Institute.
Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys?
How the hell are you?
How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, how's it going? How are you doing? I've been told by a listener recently that they're sick of the thank yous at the beginning of the podcast. So I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the podcast and for sending me messages. Guys, welcome to the Weekly Roast. If you are new to the show, as many people seem to be in the last few weeks, I'm just going to explain to you very briefly what happens. Every week, we choose a different aspect of Irish culture and we roast it. All of the voice notes are sent in by the listeners. We then change the voice notes, we then change the voices of the contributors to ensure anonymity. Mark Meegan's Weekly Roast is essentially Ireland's confession box. And it's great for you to be here with us. So listen, thank you so much to everybody for listening. Especially welcome to all the new listeners. It's been an enormous couple of months of growth. So genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Now, if you want to contribute to the show, send me a DM on Instagram at Meegan Mark. If you enjoy the show, send me a DM on Instagram at Meegan Mark. If you didn't enjoy the show, good luck. Now, today, it's the roast of airports. I'm joined by our lovely producer, Emma Nolan.
Thank you, hello.
I don't need to say that she's lovely, just that she's a producer. Airports. Okay, I have, listeners to this podcast will know that I've always said airports are the worst places on earth because they are sort of socially lawless. Do you know what I mean? There is zero accountability for how you behave and etiquette is not required because you'll never see these people again, you know? It's sort of like the shopping cart theory. You've heard of the shopping trolley theory, have you?
No.
So the shopping trolley theory is basically when a person's moral character can be determined whether or not they choose to return a shopping trolley in a car park. Basically, because they have the opportunity not to. There's no accountability there. So to put it simply, it determines if a person is good or not because it's basically totally up to you as to whether or not you return the trolley. And in my opinion, airports are the sort of modern day litmus test to assess people's moral character because nobody gives a shit in an airport. The rules just go out the window entirely. People can skip you in queues. People can be rude to staff, you know. They can leave a mess where they're sitting and nobody cares. Give a man a mask and he'll tell you how he really feels. Mm. And in an airport, the mask doth truly slips. Okay, guys, so for today's podcast, given the sheer volume of contributions and things that we want to explore, we've separated it into three parts. There's the security section, which is coming up first. Then we've got departures. And then we've got in-flight entertainment, which is when things get particularly raunchy. Also, at the very end of this episode, if you wait until the end, there's going to be a bonus few minutes wherever I talk in a sincere way, not in a comedic way, about my experience with flight anxiety and doing the course over in London, because lots of people were asking me about that. So I'll just include that as a little extra at the end. But the main sections are going to be security, departures, then in-flight entertainment. First up, we've got security. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Love the show. Walking through security in Dublin Airport one day and fairly busy. Everyone's rushing around. The lady in front of me had taken off all her coats and stuff like that, put them in the box. And as she's walking to the metal detector, the security lady gestured at her, "Are you wearing a belt?" To which the lady straight away pulls down both her leggings and her knickers. And to everyone's horror, she stood there. The men in the area were all staring at her. The ladies were embarrassed for her. I was pissing myself laughing. I just couldn't stop. Anyway, after about 10 to 15 seconds, when her confusion stopped, she pulled back up her underwear and her leggings, and it was just pandemonium. Everyone was laughing their head off. But I said to the security lady going through the metal detector, "That was crazy." And she said to me, "That is mild compared to some of the stuff we see here." Anyway, thought it might be funny for people to listen to. Great, love your show. Thanks.
Really gives a whole new meaning to any liquids, doesn't it?
Oh
no, but like, why would you ever assume that some? I think as human beings, okay, no matter where we're from or what we've experienced in our lives, we should always just operate under the idea that nobody is going to ask you to take your ass out in public. Yeah. It's just not a common request. Pretty much all of the time, no one's ever going to go, just take your ass and vagina out there. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just, why would you ever, anybody ever assume that? Did I ever tell you about when I was coming home from school one time and like, I was 13 or 14. And we were giving this lad a lift home from training or something, some sports ball training, brilliant. And my mum was like, oh, Paul, do you want to come back and hang out with Mark for a few hours? And he was like, yeah, that'd be great. So she goes, do you want to call your mum there just to make sure that that's okay rather than giving you a lift home? And he was like, yeah. So my mum gives him the old Nokia or whatever it was back in the early noughties or late 90s. And Paul answers, we just hear Paul's version of the phone call. So Paul's just sitting there in the car and we just hear,
hello, Nana, is mum there?
Mm-hmm.
Paul? Paul Mooney? Oh, sorry, I think I've got the wrong number.
No.
Bye.
Oh.
Hangs up. We were like, what went on there, Paul? And he was like,
oh, sorry, I think I had the wrong number.
And I was like, does your Nana live with you?
Yeah. And he was like, no.
So he had just rang this random number and assumed because an old woman had answered the phone that this was his Nana.
Oh, that's,
you know what I mean?
Not poor little pets.
We weren't dropping him home from Mensa. Nevertheless, taking the jocks out in the middle of security. What do you think?
I think it's gas that lately I've noticed this change that they're looking for. I've never noticed it before. And all of a sudden, I've noticed it loads of security where, as a gal, they will ask you, like, say, for example, I'm wearing this big kind of take oversized jumper today, even though it's a lovely day. I got up at 5:30. And they'd say to you, are you in a position to take that off?
Yeah.
I.e., do you have a top on?
Are you wearing jocks?
Or whatever.
Yeah,
do you have a top on underneath? Whatever. And I always find that real weird. And like, I go red being like, no, sorry, I can't.
Well, I think it's better that they ask. Now, by the way, in this woman's defense, okay, like, and I know that there's a lot of people who work in security in Dublin Airport listening to this episode of the show, and you're very welcome. But what I will say is that some of the airport and security in Dublin, they don't make it easy for the tourists.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Confusing.
A 74-year-old Asian woman comes up with like a Trinity College hoodie and a Guinness hat with four bags of O'Carroll's Irish gifts, you know, on either arm. And it's like,
listen, love, you want to get rid of those yolks out of the bag there and give them to the fella over there standing by the jacks?
Sorry?
Yeah.
Do you know? Sorry? Jay, you wouldn't grab that thing sticking out of your bag there and pass over to the lad. You see the lad over there in the blower? There. Sorry, I'm literally Chinese. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't be more Chinese. I don't understand a single word that you're saying, like. Do you know what I mean? What do you mean I can't bring a pillowcase of soy sauce? Brilliant. But, you know, it's just, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, you want to fucking have a Swiss quickly enough? Because, you know, what? What do you mean? Like, they're far too colloquial in their language sometimes, you know? You'd need Duolingo to understand them if you were from Westmead, let alone the fucking Sichuan province. It is the Sichuan province, isn't it?
I don't know.
I hope it's not.
I hope it is.
The old Chinese geography isn't as good as it used to be. But fun fact about Airport Terminal 1, actually.
What?
Security. Security people out there, let me know if this is true. You know the way in Dublin Airport Terminal 2, you can walk through now. You don't have to take stuff out of your pockets.
Is that still the case? Because that went back then, didn't it? They reverse it.
They didn't reverse, did they?
Well, they reverted the liquids.
It wouldn't be like the Irish to make a really big, important decision that they later regret and try and reverse.
That's kind of what happened, I think.
Not talking about anything in particular, by the way. The water charges. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Drama.
Fun fact about Dublin Airport Terminal 1.
Go on.
There are more tracksuits there per person than the Olympic opening ceremony. No, brilliant.
Oh my gosh.
Who would have conducted that research? Do you know what I mean? John Connors, if you're filming Love Hate Series 2 anytime soon, you should go out and... Anyway, the machines that they have in Terminal 2, right, that you can just walk through without taking your stuff out of your pockets.
Gotcha, yeah.
Apparently, they tried to get them into Terminal 1, but they couldn't because the weight of them would actually, the structure of the building in Airport Terminal 1 wouldn't be able to withstand the weight
of them, even though how many people, what's the footfall there every single day?
Don't know.
That's crazy.
So there you go, wow. a bit of less airport knowledge. Let's go.
Hey, Mark. My fiance is a big fan of the podcast, so he'd be delighted to hear this. But going through the airport a few weeks ago and And fella in front of me gets stopped in the queue and his bag goes through and he looks really surprised before the security guard pulls out 3 2-liter bottles of water. As if the guy doesn't know that that rule has been in for about 14 years that you can't bring over 100 mils. Like, seriously, people's IQ goes down about 100 points when they go into the airport. Thought the guy was going to then pull out a samurai sword or something and I'm act surprised again.
Okay, the samurai sword thing's a bit weird.
From water to the sword.
I feel like saying that people's IQ points go down by 100 would suggest that they have 100 to lose. Do you know? Yeah, some of the people, like, okay, here's one for you. The people that walk up and down the or walk down the aisle of the airplane, slowly looking up at each number of the seat, even though they're sitting in 26D, they shouldn't be allowed passports. They shouldn't. They should lose the right to fly.
Yeah, you don't need to check again for at least another 15 minutes.
You don't need to check at all until you get to the end of the plane. Now, this person with the liquids, how could you possibly be surprised? Like, you have absolutely flown before. You know that you're not going to be allowed to bring 3 2.5 litres of country spring with you across the Irish Sea. It's absolutely, as you might say, my friend, derangement levels of ignorance. Like, good luck. You see them every time. What do you mean I can't have 4 bottles of shampoo? Why are you bringing 4 bottles of shampoo with you anyway in the first place? Why are you putting them in your hand luggage? How much of a moron would you have to be to not see? Even if this is your first time ever in an airport, look around you. Mm. Oh, there's loads of plastic bags. People putting shampoos in the I have shampoo. Nope, just going to keep ignoring that. Just going to keep ignoring all of that. Wait until I get to the top and then I'm going to take out the 4 flagons of country spring. If you bring, here's my thing, if you bring like 2 litres of a drink in front, you know, and you hold up the queue, you should be forced to down it in front of everybody.
Yeah, true. Show us how tough you are.
You should be forced to be, you're effectively being waterboarded on your own negligence. And it's totally and utterly deserved. Speaking of flagons, I just realised when this one came through, the most Celtic Tiger thing that ever happened in my family, like the most Celtic Tiger thing of all time. You know those Ballygown things that that they have in offices?
Oh my God, the water filter.
We had one in our kitchen.
Oh, for
completely insane.
How long did it last? As in, sorry, was this the one that was plugged in and the water was coming from a weird source, or did you get the big barrels?
With the big 19 litres.
No way. Yeah. You see, someone had to change them all the time.
Ballygown guy, yeah.
Oh, that's the dream.
Barry Gowan, yeah, yeah. He used to come out every the good old days.
Honestly, before I leave this building every day, I leave work, I'm like, I'll get another fill of the barrel of water now to keep me going for
love
the day.
It.
I love it. Do you ever feel like you deserve to be arrested if you arrive at your destination and realise something liquidy got through that you hadn't bagged by accident?
I've definitely felt like I've deserved to be arrested because I've arrived at my destination and a bag hasn't gone. No, I'm joking. That is a joke. Oh yeah, I did. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But it also proves how easy it is.
Totally. It was toothpaste for me and I arrived in Stockholm and I was like, oh my God, yeah. It wasn't in the... My bad.
Yeah,
you know, you almost feel like, I should go back and say it. No, you got there. Everything's fine.
Let's go.
One evening, I was coming back from a hen through Manchester Airport when my bag got taken by security. And when I was waiting to get my bag checked, the next thing I got this really strong smell of curry and border control was standing there with an open slow cooker pot full of curry. Next thing, this man with a turban stood forward and goes, what are you doing with my dinner? And they were like, sorry, do you own this slow cooker pot of curry? And he's like, that is my dinner. And they were like, sorry, you can't, mate, you can't bring it with you as hand luggage. It's over the 100 mils of liquid. And he's like, but that is my dinner. And they said, well, it can't go as hand luggage. And he goes, well, I could hardly put it in my checked luggage. It would spill everywhere. And they said, mate, the issue is it's over 100 mils. And then he started shouting, if I was going to blow up the plane, I would hardly do it with a veggie dal. And then the next thing, there was like a big commotion over it. And he asked for his dinner back. And then when I say there was 12 litres in this slow cooker, there was enough for him to start like an in-flight, like a dining option himself. And then he just kept fighting and they said, no, you can't bring your crock pot of veggie dal on the plane. And I'm not sure what happened after that, but it was the funniest thing ever.
I love this so much.
Perhaps he was trying to curry a bit of flavour with the aerostess.
Yeah, perhaps. Do you know what
I
mean?
Yeah. And I'll genuinely bring in trying to bring a curry through security. That's just incredibly bad karma.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Maybe he should dial it down a bit. You know, was he flying with his nan? Yeah, he was actually. Okay, I'm surprised you went for the accent, Brave. But look, this is completely insane. A vat a massive cauldron of curry through security. And also, like, if I was going to blow up the plane, nobody's mentioned any, nobody's thinking about the blowing up of the plane.
I do think it's a good point, though. Imagine if you did, and with your curry.
Oh,
it just wouldn't be a thing.
No, but Jesus Christ. I think, are you one of those people that needs to bring fucking tea bags and sausages with? Like, would you grow up?
My grandparents moved to Spain many, 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 many years ago. My granddad's still in Spain now. He had to move out there for a back problem. Anyway, my mom was young. But I would be picking up the sausages and rashers for him, though.
Okay, that's fine.
So that's grand.
But the whole, you're going to Spain for a fortnight and you have the tea bags in the suitcase. You're an embarrassment. No. You're not an ambassador for our country. You are. People just want their home comforts. People are just, actually, by the way, the whole idea of traveling, people nowadays just want to be comfortable all the time. Psychologically, physically, everybody is just out to eradicate any form of discomfort or torture or pain or whatever. You see, like, using a neck pillow from a flight from Dublin to London.
Get a grip.
That's like booking yourself in for physio after doing the dishwasher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just grow up. As for curry, Tim Curry, there you go. Yeah, bananas were probably in the curry, actually, if it was a veggie one. So, delicious. Let's go.
How you getting on, Mark? So airports, once I heard this, I knew it was my category. I commute quite a lot, 2 times a month between London and Dublin, and some of the absolute window lickers that come through the airport security is just ridiculous. The conveyor belt, people, the trays come at the end of the conveyor belt and people like fix their bags and put their belts on and everything like that at the end of that belt instead of going on the designated tables. That really, really grinds my ears. But in particular, there was one time when I was on holidays, home back from holidays, and it was in a really, really hot airport in Greece, and someone proceeded to take their jeans off and change into shorts in public, in airport security. And no one was batting an eyelid. This guy was wearing like Y-fronts as well, like hairy cheeks out. Like just shocking stuff. Pretty nice arse there.
Okay, I love the plot twist at the end by saying nice arse. Fair play to you. That's I got blocked a while ago by somebody on Instagram because I was doing a row. It was back before I started the podcast and I was doing the roast on Instagram and I put up something about having sex in your 30s when you still live with your parents. And I was like, oh, it's so difficult having sex in your 30s when you still live at home with your parents. Like, it's just you get so much grief.
Yeah.
Why don't people understand what me and mum have is beautiful?
Oh.
Just a joke. And this woman messaged me and gone, that's absolutely disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself. And she blocked me. Good stuff.
Wow.
See you at Christmas, mum. Nevertheless, this is absolutely okay. Removing item of clothing again in security is just completely and utterly outrageous. Like, I get awkward if, do you ever take your jumper off in a professional context and your t-shirt comes up with it and all of a sudden your nude tits are staring at the person across from you?
Horrible.
And it's just, so that is humiliating. But like, I also find I honestly think every single time that I'm in security, I will encounter somebody who is purely there to infuriate me. Stopping at the end of the conveyor belt, enraging. People that just stop in general, people that stop in the top of escalators, you know? You know, if you're flying out of Terminal 1 in Dublin Airport and you have to do the fucking Camino de Santiago over to your gate, okay? And they've got those long, flat escalators.
People who just stand on them and don't move.
People that block them. You should lose the right to fly. You should be barred from holidays and you shouldn't be allowed
to
vote.
They're literally for people who are struggling to move or people who are in a rush.
Or people who want to go quickly. They're not for three kids. Nothing wrong with kids, by the way, but three kids with Dora the Explorer backpacks and the dad and the crack and the whole block and the whole thing. Move out of the way, please. I've said it before on this podcast and I'll say it again. As Irish people, we have a national disability when it comes to knowing how to behave on escalators and in the wider world. I mean, that part of Terminal 1 when you're going along and you're looking at all the deedly eye, you know, all the pictures they have up, the various Irish things like, oh, the Corrs are coming back.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Corrs. The Corrs actually are coming back, I think, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, they're doing a tour.
Is the brother involved?
They'll be performing hits such as Runaway, Breathless, and Did You Know the Illuminati Only Want to Exist in a Cashless Society Because Lizard Paws Find It Hard to Hold Coins? Good stuff, Jim. Any chance of an encore? No? I wonder how tight the contract they have with Jim is, if it's like, we're going to the late. You can't mention anything about the Illuminati. Talk about the fiddle. Do you know what I mean? do something on the Bajoran. Less about the Rothschild family and the Anunnaki. Do you know what I mean? Stop talking about viruses that are created by... Nevertheless, I would run away. If you've used the word sheeple, that's when you've passed the point of no return. That's when you need to be... If you use the word sheeple, that's when you should be shepherded and herded into a holding cell of some sort because you've lost your goddamn mind. Oliver. I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast on airports. We are now entering the departure section. This is a little bit further into your airport experience. This is whenever you get to be sort of herded into the main foyers and lobbies with people, which, by the way, not to focus everything on Dublin, and I'm sick of Dublin-centric podcasts and posts and all the rest, but the Burger King area in Terminal 1 of Dublin Airport is barbaric.
Yeah, that bar is closed at the moment for works. Have you seen that?
No.
Recently?
Emma, I don't actually hang around in bars anymore.
Ah, as but you, I mean, it's good for food and all.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'll have two of those sausages. And would you just, nevertheless, the Burger King in Dublin Terminal 1, the streets of Kosovo during the reign of Slobodan Milosevic, which is always fun to say. Horrible guy, fun to say, would be cleaner. I feel like airports back in the 90s were just much more relaxed. There was always, you know, it was just more serene. There was always like an annoying Dutch kid going around in Heelys. That was the worst. That was the peak of annoying.
Yeah, you're right.
Always one annoying European child with Heelys. And usually he'd have like a rat's tail, which you have to wonder about. Surely the name rat's tail would act as a deterrent for people when they go to barbershops to not get it. Hello, mate. How are you getting on? What can I do for you? Skin fade? I don't know. Do you have anything else? Could give you a rat's tail. That sounds brilliant. Yes, please.
But the worst part of that is if it's little Jimmy and his dad brought him in, it's probably the dad who made that decision.
Yeah, let's go.
So I was transferring between two flights and was going through security before getting through to the gate for the second flight. And there was a guy in front of me who was stopped by security. And, you know, you've obviously got to walk past him. So as I walked past him, they opened up his bag and he was pulling out a life jacket. He stole a life jacket from under his seat. How horrific. Anyway, that's me.
Shout out to our Scottish listeners. The Scottish accent is one of those few accents that you hear and you're just like, good God, I want to emulate it. I want to emulate it so much.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And especially security.
Yeah.
Security is a really good Scottish accent. I can actually do a very, I don't want to go to security. Sort of Glasgow. No? More of a Dundee. Let's not get bogged down in there. Scottish cities. Nevertheless, where was his connecting flight? Atlantis. Do you know, a life jacket. What do you think?
Do you ever hear those things though where it's like, what's the life jacket actually going to do?
Yeah, so there's a comedian, one of the greatest comedians in Irish history. I think the greatest, probably. Tom Allen.
Is that who it was?
Tom Allen did a bit, okay? I think it was, somebody will know, probably back in the 70s. He was a phenomenal observational comic. Like, the best of all time, I think. And he has this bit on airplanes. If you Google it on your YouTube it. And he used to always come out on stage and hold a whiskey. He never drank from it when he was on stage, apparently. But he has this bit on the life jackets. And he also talks about how, you crash land in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And they give you a whistle.
Yeah, like
what good is that? Do you know what I mean? Like, what good is that? The waves crashing around you, you know, killer sharks, the wind, the thunder.
Yeah, no, totally. And it is, it's so true. But yeah, it's still dirty to take them, to remove one is dirty behaviour.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you'd have to be a serious freak to be robbing a life jacket. You're never going to benefit from that. You know, you can't use it as a buoyancy aid. I have always wanted to go down the slides. But no, if you're robbing stuff like that, you're a bad person and you're also a freak. The only bigger freak that you may encounter in an airport, Emma Nolan, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
The perverts that use the massage chairs in airports.
Who in God's name
invented the massage chair? Imagine that, sitting around Air Rianta, the board meeting, and they're like, do you think we should fix the queues during the summer months? No, definitely not. Desmond has an idea. Desi, what is it? We should get the massage chairs. Sorry? We should get these lovely massage chairs. Are they lovely? Not really. They feel like you're getting kicked in the back, do you know? Okay, well, where should we put these massage chairs for people to get whenever they're in between their flights? Maybe somewhere quiet, somewhere dimly lit, somewhere discreet, just so they can have a... No, stick them in the main foyer right in front of everybody. So you basically have to sit there and awkwardly gyrate whilst at the same time craning your neck to nervously check if your flight is boarding yet. Do you know what? Making eye contact with somebody sitting in one of those massage chairs, you just instantly lose all respect for them. Even the act of like putting in €2 into a machine for you to then get rubbed, it's like you're purchasing a sex act. Do you know what I mean? It's a leather bit of foreplay. Public massage chairs, pervert chairs. Genuinely, why are you gyrating, Emma? Are you off the vape? You're on the peace pipe now or the bong? Weed head. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Emma. Love the pod. Okay, so is there anything more annoying than the fucking clowns that insist on standing up as soon as the plane lands in the tarmac? Like, seriously, where did they think they can go? The absolute bell ends. And then they're fucking hitting you in the face with their bags when they're taking them out of the lockers. And then you're face to face, crotchless, or crotch first with someone. See you later.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I could all not, of the above.
I could not. I think for me, when you go up to your flight and the priority queue is much longer than the non-priority queue, that's everything that's wrong with society. Mm. Like, there's three people in the non-priority queue, but everyone else in. Just go to non-priority. No, have to let people know that I'm flying priority. There is no benefit to it.
But also there's very little you can do now to avoid being priority. If you want to bring anything apart from your phone, you kind of need to be going into the priority queue. The bags just keep getting smaller, don't they?
They do. And so I know it's probably not going to serve me well to be dissing brands on the podcast, but that's the game. I have a theory on this. It's the great deflection, right? All of these companies that are really shit, they deflect with this mirage and facade of humor on social media. The funniest social media accounts are always by the most, I think, dubious business practices. It's what I like to, it's a concept that I'm coining called humor washing.
Very good.
Wherein they have the funniest Twitter, they're self-deprecatory, they slag themselves and everyone's like, oh, that's brilliant. Do you know what? It's great that they can have a bit of a laugh whilst, and that means we all just turn a blind eye to their complete day-to-day daylight robbery because they post a few fucking funny memes. Do you know what? It was worth spending €11 for a ham and cheese toasty with cheese that is hotter than the sun and ham that is colder than Ernest Shackleton's sack. Do you know what I mean? That should only be available on a long-haul flight. Mm-hmm. It's going to take 6 hours for it to cool down to an edible temperature. Daylight robbery mm-hmm. in that instant. So humor washing, all of these companies, they use like, oh, let's just have a bit of crack on socials. Let's tweet funny things about the Oscars.
And let's take the piss out of people's genuine concerns and complaints.
That's the thing. And there's also a very fine line between making fun of somebody being pedantic and pathetic versus making somebody fun of somebody who just not, who doesn't have the tools to communicate better. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And that's a very fine line. Mm. And lest I get too sanctimonious and start punching down, let's also talk about the people who purchase Ryanair lottery tickets. If you spend €40 on Ryanair lottery tickets, there's 1,000% chance that you're an idiot.
Really?
Yeah, apparently.
Interesting.
Do you know who annoys me on planes?
Who?
This is a bit of a niche one. Mm-hmm. People that get up to go up and stand beside the toilet and then start like stretching. We get it. You do yoga. Do you know what I mean? We get just like.
Yeah.
No, you know, there's something so smug about like, yeah, I'm just going up to do my sort of like downward facing dog beside the drinks trolley. You know, we get that you do yoga. You know, you know what I mean? You're sitting in a Ryanair flight for an hour and a half. You know, you haven't contorted into a fucking pretzel for six. I feel like there's a real, I don't know how to describe it, but there's a smug traveller. And it's the traveller that like that likes to sort of act like they're so used to flying that, you know, it's all just, yeah. Does that make, do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
You're not Simone Biles for doing a fucking jumping jack outside the Jax whilst you wait for your friend Jax. Let's go.
So recently I was on a flight to Malta from Dublin, which is about 3 hours 40 minutes. And about 20 minutes into the flight, a man walked up to the front of the plane. I was sitting towards the front, so I saw everything and had a quick conversation with the stewardesses. And next minute he picked up the intercom and called his partner over the intercom saying he had a very important question to ask her and could she come up to the front of the plane?
No.
So there was a bit of hustle and bustle. Next minute anyway, she walked up and he got down on one knee while still speaking through the intercom and proposed to her. I have never seen anyone
go as red in my entire life. The poor girl was mortified. She literally took the ring off him and went back down to her seat, and the whole plane started clapping. Oh, I wanted the seat to swallow me. I was that embarrassed for her.
What's the sentimental value there?
I just hate it. I hate everything about it. I don't want... If Darren, if myself and Darren weren't engaged, okay, and then we were on a flight coming back from France, we haven't talked about that enough, but we're on our flight coming back from France, and if she did a sort of surprise proposal where like fucking Cian DeCrow sneaks out of the jacks and starts singing that song of his, you know, turbulence would be the least of their concerns. If you ever want to fall in. No, I want to fall out of the sky, Cian. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to fashion one of those 17 rings on those French fingers of yours, force it into a lockpick, get into the cockpit and bring this baby down. If you ever want to stroke a luck. I'd rather to suffer a stroke than this... Cian, I call him Kieran DeCrow, than to be 30,000 feet in the air trying to listen to an anti-anxiety fucking flight playlist on Spotify only to get proposed to. I do not understand public displays of affection to that degree. Who's getting anything from it?
No, it's awful. And you're also trapped. There's nothing romantic about the situation. As soon as I get on a plane, I'm just like, I can't wait to be off this thing.
As soon as anything's in public, there's nothing romantic. Everything is an attempt to go viral these days. And that's just the bottom line. Oh, you know, there's a pianist in a train station. He started playing Beethoven's Waltz. And this lovely old couple in their 90s started dancing in front of him. Cool. They should be tasered and removed from the forecourt. Mm. They're getting in the way of commuters. And the sentimentality is infuriating. I'm in Euston to go down to Galway for a scan. You know, I don't know. I just public flash floods, in my opinion, are God's way of punishing us for flash mobs. Genuinely.
I can't remember where we were flying from, but I was on the window seat and the guy in the middle, which was even harder to get away from, was continuously picking his nose. He was reading a magazine at the time, and it's one of those really thin sheeted papers magazine. So every time he went to turn the page, his fingers were sticking to the pages because obviously he was continuously picking his nose. So for a while I kept tutting and kind of like, oh. And after a while I said to him, will you ever just go to the toilet and sort your nose out privately, please? He actually didn't even answer me. He just turned away. But he did stop picking his nose, which was great.
In the history of Cork contributions, that is my favourite and the most Cork contribution I've ever had. Will you ever go to the top? Like, you're speaking to him like he's your child.
It's brilliant. And you can tell that he didn't not reply to you because he felt...
He was mortified.
He was absolutely mortified. Yeah, he wants to fall out of that plane.
Also, usually sticky pages of a magazine mean something far more sinister. So in a way, you definitely got off lightly. But also actually on that, in the era of the internet, who is still buying porn magazines? Do porn magazines exist?
I actually wouldn't know.
To the top shelf, because they used to be on the top shelf. I wonder.
Would they be in the top shelf in like a centre though? Like, where would you be going?
Any, I don't know, maybe usually corner shops.
Right. Like where you'd have your cool vinyl shops now would have been like.
Yeah.
Right.
Also vinyl. You don't like vinyl. You got the Fleetwood Mac. The turntable is the boring Christmas present for the man in his early 30s who can't reconcile with the fact that he still loves Leinster and wants to wear gilets midweek. So it's like he'll get a turntable. He'll get probably Fleetwood Mac. He might get, who else would he get? He'd get a Fleetwood Mac CD.
Cranberries.
He might get the Cranberries. He'd get the National and a couple of other, you know, he might get a Kendrick double thing compilation. Anyway. Good luck, basically. Nevertheless, yes, okay. Picking your nose and sticking the sheets of a... Like, that's just honestly, utterly depraved. People are very filthy in airports and airplanes. It's just the truth. Do you know what I mean? It's almost like when you... Do you ever get when you go into the loo or after a flight and you see people drinking from the hand tap in the toilet?
Oh, no, stop.
Like, that water... I understand using drinking water fountains, by the way, or just you should grab some of those free bottles that they have in Dublin Airport.
They're not free.
The water in those taps, like in the actual bathrooms, is more septic than the conversations that you have to have outside the church after a wedding, but before you go to the venue. Oh, Mark, have you not met my husband, Nathan? No. And Why are you saying that like it's a bad thing? Do you know what I mean? No one has ever been disappointed about not meeting Nathan. Like, you know, I was perfectly content over here in the corner of the car park talking to my actual friends about actual things that we're interested in rather than asking this lad if this is his first half marathon. Do you know what I mean? Or, I don't know, oh yes, remind me again about those crazy settings you can get on your Garmin watch. I'm fucking riveted, do you know? They should bring back name cards at weddings. Except for on the name card, it shouldn't say your name. It should just be like, yes, I'm up for small talk, not interested. Or not, and just walk around, not interested. No, thank you. Let's all be here for the same united purpose, which is these people get married, do not want to engage with all the rest of you.
That's the thing in some hairdressers now I've seen online, and I think it should be widely adopted, that when you are booking your appointment, you say what you want. Do you want small talk? Do you not want small talk? Is this your bit of peace? Is this your hour away from the kids?
I went to a hairdresser recently. I went away from my usual barber because I was away. Anyway, I went into this hairdresser's and I just wanted to cut. And the woman cutting my hair told me that she was thinking of changing her kid's school, okay? Mm. Because she had gotten a letter from the principal at the beginning of the year to see how her son identified, a boy, a girl, or something else, e.g. a wolf. No, that never happened. It simply didn't happen. The school did not send out a letter with headed paper saying, does your child want to identify as a wolf? It didn't, Emma.
You wouldn't know, Dave.
You would know. You see, this is the thing. That's the fear mongering. That's the problem. They use such extreme, outrageous examples to curry hate amongst people in the middle. That never happened. Nobody ever said, does your child want to identify as a wolf? Nevertheless, let's go.
Hey, Mark. So there's two things that really annoy me. I fly a lot, so I fly about 50, 60 times a year for work and regularly back and forth to the UK, and I see the same situation over and over again. And it's on plane, so it's when everyone's loading off the plane, and there's two scenarios that really make me empathise with the staff who work on a flight, mainly the women who work on a flight. One is that like 7-8 o'clock flight from Heathrow on a Friday, and you've got some lad who gets on the plane and he's had a few drinks and he thinks he's God's gift and gets on and starts trying to flirt with their hostess. And you know it just doesn't work. So you'll walk on the plane, he'll say something or whisper something in the ear. The expression of their hostess goes from like a smiley welcome on board to absolute disgust. Like cringe turns to her fellow passenger or her fellow staff member, and then he struts down the aisle just with a grin on his face, and you're just like, what an absolute piece of shit. And the other is, and actually probably comes from the same person, the same persona, which is they get on the plane, and because they see the two front rows are empty or the person hasn't sat in that chair yet, they assume that they can take the free seats in like the airspace or something like that. And it's just the most entitled thing you could do when you get on a plane. It's like, oh, well, assumingly, because no one's sitting there, I can sit there. And they have to repeat themselves over and over again, the staff there, that, no, you can't sit there because you didn't pay for those seats. And while someone hasn't paid for those seats, it doesn't mean you ultimately get upgraded. That's very frustrating. And I see it a lot.
50 or 60 flights a year. You're Taylor Swift. Michael O'Leary doesn't get 60 flights. Greta Thunberg would probably have to be restrained and sedated if she heard that. 60 flights a year to London.
That's excessive.
Just move to London.
Yeah.
There can't be any benefit at that point of not living in London. Nevertheless, I completely agree. Mm. Guys, it's the whole thing about like, oh yeah, like, you know, she's an air hostess. So you know what that means? That she's an air hostess. That's what that... Nah, you can always tell, like... You can tell what? You know what I mean?
How can you tell?
You can... I've said that before in the pub. It's like, well, you know, like, she's a twin. So they're always filthy. Are they? Who said... What?
Said.
Where does that...
Who?
Yeah, like, she's a twin, so they're... They didn't practice riding each other growing up. Do you know what I mean? No, but this isn't the film Dogtooth, a brilliant Greek film. But, like...
The assumptions are chaotic and problematic about certain...
Yeah, like, she went to dancing school growing up, so... What? So she can... Because she can do the worm in bed. Like, do you know what I mean? None of these things, like... Oh, like, she's got a tattoo on her lower back, so...
So she's got a tattoo in her lower back.
Yeah, maybe that. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. You know the real, like, when you're in a group, right? Do you ever get when you're in a group and somebody slags you and everybody has a laugh, but there's one person's like, ah,
giving it away.
Like, why are you laughing that much? Don't be laughing that much, Dad. Nevertheless, I just love jocks. Like, and I was talking about this before when the airport stuff came in. This might be too niche, but have you ever noticed that South Dublin jocks, right? They always feel like they could have, or, you know, maybe it's not just South Dublin ones, but they're the ones that I know. South Dublin jocks always feel like they could have solved pretty much most terror attacks if they were on site.
Right, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, I watched a documentary there about 9/11 the other night. Like, it was, it's fairly dark now. Like, I'm not going to lie. But it just makes you think, like, I mean, if I was actually on that flight, like, that day, like, I would have fully just, like, rammed into the cockpit and given your man Osama, like, a few digs, do you know what I mean? Like, now, I've obviously never read the Quran, but, like, the what? I've obviously never read, like, the Quran. It's not called that. Mm-hmm. It's called the Quran. It's not a book about a woman named Anne from the LGBT community. In fact, it's very much not that. But you know what I mean? Like, why is it that these guys think that? Yeah, like, her was watching a documentary the other night there about that tsunami. Yeah, fairly grim. Like, if I was there now, I probably would have taken the windscreen off one of the tuk-tuks and used that to surf my way to higher ground, you know? Just, like, survived on the breast milk of one of the lactating locals and slowly ingratiated myself into the community before building a network of English speakers. I don't know, you know? I should know. Like, it's obviously screaming and running for cover was also an option, but yeah. Like, no, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the, yeah, like, if I was there now, would he not have just given him a few? No, man, he wouldn't have, because you don't know how you're going to react in these situations. What is your opinion on South Dublin people generally? Let's be honest. Let's just be...
I am one.
All right, well...
I'm from Ternier.
Nevertheless. Ternier is amazing, because Ternier is all like, oh, my cousin's kickboxing champion of Europe. No, he's not. How many kickboxing champion of Europe are there? Isn't every other day that they're giving out medals? Ternier is like, you live in a mentally sized house, a castle, but you like to act like, you know, you're a star in the new series of Love Hate, which has been filmed in the smoking area of Dublin Airport Terminal 1. Like,
yeah, you know the people as well from Ternier who don't really want to be from Ternier. They'd be more like, I'm from Temple Oak.
Yeah. Man, I am telling you that the biggest thing at the moment is I get grief for my accent. But it's like, I'm not fucking changing. I'm not pretending. Much better that than maybe like, yeah, you know yourself, like, I'm out in Castleknock, but like, I grew up near enough to Dunleary. Like, you know, you live in Black Rock. Is that what you're talking about? Uh-huh. Spoofer. Nevertheless. Guys, I hope you're enjoying the weekly roast on airports. If this is your first time listening to the show, it's great to have you with us. There are about 52 different episodes for you to listen back to, all available wherever you get your podcasts. Also, if you could subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, just click follow or subscribe. Apparently that makes a big difference. It'll then be recommended to more people. And of course, if you do enjoy the show, the greatest thing you can do to help spread the word is just share it with a friend and let them know that they should give it a listen. And thank you again for all of the continued support with the podcast. It really and truly means a lot, and you are very welcome if you're new. But now, okay, now is the time to brace yourselves. This is the in-flight entertainment section of the podcast. This is when things begin to get a bit spicier. I hope you enjoy it. Lean into it. Please don't judge. Let's go.
So I was sitting on a plane for ages one day waiting for it's take off. There was a delay on the runway, so you know when you get locked in a plane. Anyway, I'm a fecker for looking in, looking at what people are looking at on the phone. So there was a guy sitting ahead of me, and I could see between the seats. And when I looked at his phone, I noticed that he was looking at porn.
No.
He was full on watching a porn video while we were all sitting on the plane waiting for it to take off. Like, I was proper having a good old glance down as well to see if it was actually at himself as well, because I just would have been completely freaked out then. But he wasn't. He was just watching it like you watch, I don't know, an Instagram post. I was just blown away by the fact that someone would do that in public.
I think it's actually even more sinister that he wasn't at himself.
Who watches porn just for the cinematic experience?
Just for the plot lines. Do you know what I mean?
Like, they're never that good.
How invested in the plot lines of the pornography was he that he was like, no, wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. So there's the police chief. Okay. Yeah. There's the police chief and then there's the diamond thief. And he's came across the diamond thief in the end of a back alley. And he's opened up by saying, what are you doing there with your back alley? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I need to stick around and see what happens. Then he's assumingly he's going to put her under arrest. I hope he doesn't use that silver trash can to, you know, this is just time to take out. I don't know. You can imagine his wife pleading with him in duty free. Now, Nigel, would you not get yourself a magazine there on W.H. Smith? Would you not? Would you read a book? Come on, look, there's a Johnny Sexton's autobiography. Would you like that? Nigel, don't start this again with me, Helen. I'll be watching the porn. Do you know what I mean? I'm only getting to the good part now. Good part now. No spoilers. They shag, Nigel. That's what happens. Spoiler alert. They have sex. It's pornography. What sort of... Also, like, are there people out there of sordid enough a disposition that they watch pornography with the fucking volume up?
Oh, just...
Surely the idea of porn is that you're always watching with the volume off lest you be disturbed. Do you know what I mean?
I can't read a Sally Rooney book in public because I feel like I'm being a disgrace to society.
I can't read a... Nope. Nevertheless...
Also, side note, a friend of mine many, many years ago, she told me that she got this particular screen protector on her phone because she was sending filth on public transport to her boyfriend. And she was like, I can't live like this anymore. What if a message from him pops up or whatever?
Mm.
So she got this screen cover. So Basically, unless you're looking directly at your phone, here, Nobody else can see it.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone should have them.
I do agree as well. Given the amount of filth that does be exchanged on the old World Wide Web, brilliant, Mark. But yeah, watching porn in public, you've got a problem. And I think that you're entitled to complain and just say, sorry, excuse me, yeah, the person sitting there in front of me, they're watching porn. Will you do something about that, please? Because it's excessive, you know?
I agree.
Now, by the way, it could be just an episode of No, good luck. I was going to say Gladiator of Thrones. Good luck.
Brilliant,
Mark. Trying to do an impression of my mum, who's not from the country, by the way, and who doesn't know what Game of Thrones is, and she still calls the internet Netflix. Nevertheless, let's go.
Hey, Mark. I'm back. First of all, thanks a million for the shout-out a couple of weeks ago. Meant a lot. You're an absolute star. And thanks for checking in over the last couple of weeks. Have missed contributing to your podcast, so delighted to be back and in good form. Yeah, and I've seen the box cut for this week, so I thought... Do you know what better way to get back at it than letting you guys know about the time I got my jollies in the bathroom of the aeroplane on the way to Australia back in 2010. Yeah, so I am a member of the Mile High Club. Who would have thought it, eh? But yeah, I was one of those pains in the asses that was delaying anyone that needed to go to the toilet on the Qantas flight bound for Perth back in 2010. Enjoy!
Welcome back, Mrs. Jollies, but also... I'm sure you had a pain in your arse. The idea of having sex in a toilet on an airplane, it's the mile why club for me. Why do you need to?
Honestly, there's nothing less sexy or that would make you less... I hate using that word.
Which?
Horny. It's horrible.
When you do it like that, like you're also trying to swallow something. That's horny. When it's like...
Horny.
Horny.
What is sexy about being on a plane?
I can sort of understand the idea of having sex in the airport. So at least there's like a sort of transience there and you can get the cheap free samples of the cologne. But the idea of doing it actually up in the plane... I remember I went to school with this American kid actually. Ethan.
You're not hard to come at Ethan, are you?
Genuinely, Ethan Law, apparently, I remember the rumour was once he managed to right himself from being upside down in the window, Ethan apparently lost his virginity on a flight to Boston.
Yeah, right.
And I promise you, Ethan did. And I remember thinking, this is absolute bullshit. Like, the idea of losing your virginity, firstly, losing my virginity was the worst thing in the world. It was like... The first time I had sex, I promise you, it was like a poorly executed press-up. That was it. Do you know what I mean? Eyes closed, elbows creaking, sort of just lowering myself down like I was almost afraid to touch her body as if it was made of lava. Do you know what I mean? Like a very arthritic approach to intercourse. Sort of mechanical, you know? As much self-expression as a North Korean on Twitter. Like, it's just... So doing it in an airplane cubicle, good luck. You can't, by the way, going to the toilet in an airplane cubicle is bad enough because then you know when you go and you're like, okay, that was okay. Then you flush the loo and there's the 3 seconds of sweet silence.
Before
and then, scares the shite out of me.
And come here as well. You know the way people are in this Mile High Club and people talk about it a lot? How do you get away with it? It's quite blatantly obvious to people in the front row that you've just gone into the cubicle together.
Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah. I mean, like maybe in business class or first class.
Ah, okay.
I don't know, but I think having sex for the first time and doing it in an airplane toilet is more ambitious than your personal trainer watching one YouTube video on Forex trading and thinking he's going to become a billionaire because his mate showed him a screenshot of a bank account with 9 zeros in it. Mm-hmm, do you know what I mean? So he finds himself heading over to a travel lodge in Birmingham for a billionaire business course with a smorgasbord of men who wouldn't look out of place in an advertisement for Strongbow Cider or something to do with darts. Do you know what I mean? How do people fall for those fucking things?
I know.
Like the male equivalent, okay, because I mean, you're obviously female. The male equivalent of wellness retreats, okay, is just like these business courses ran by spoofers and pseudo-entrepreneurial meatheads. Anytime you see the word seminar, class, workshop, course, run a million miles. Mm. Run a million miles.
Hey, Mark, we were coming back from New York last year and the seats across from us, absolutely disgusting. But I'm glad it happened now because now anytime I go on my flight, I'll have baby wipes or disinfectant with me. So the person sitting on the window seat had their feet on the tray of the person on the aisle seat, but their shoes and socks were off. And the person on the aisle seat, they were doing the exact same to the person on the window seat. They had their socks on, but still, it was absolutely gross. This is where everyone has their food or their drinks, or even if you want to put your head there and go for a little kip, even that's actually kind of gross as well. But the person in the middle was kind of small enough that they could just kind of sit there as the people had their legs and their shoes and their socks. Absolutely disgusting. I went to the toilet at one stage and I went down and I said it to the air hostess and she was like, oh yeah, lots of people do that. It's a nice little gimmick. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting.
Okay, let me be very clear, Emanuel.
Yeah?
People that expose their bare feet on airplanes are the worst type of travellers.
How do you feel about flip-flops on a flight?
Second only, of course, to... Oh, fuck. We'll beep that with the heaviest beep that's ever been beeped. Sorry, go on.
Flip-flops on a plane, yay or nay?
Yeah, good luck. No. Exposed toe. No, thank you.
Exposed toe in workplace. Sandal at workplace.
No, thank you.
Right. Crocs?
No, thank you. Unless you're a chef.
Right. I love my Crocs.
Or a nurse. Chef, nurse, fine.
But they'd have socks on.
Well, that's fine. Sorry. Basically, a covered sock or a covered foot is all you ever need. Do you know what I mean?
Sliders.
No. Oh, and sorry, going back to sliders, are those guys, the sort of the money motivational guys, they always wear sliders. What is that? You know, that sort of Essex, the sort of hench imbecile who goes to Lineker's and they're always wearing sliders 365 days a year. Mm. Yeah, mate, just signed up to the millionaire motivational millionaire course. Basically, as soon as you join, you get instant access to a network of other entrepreneurs. Craig, you should try and get access to your kids, mate. Do you know what I mean? You haven't seen them since 2004. Like, this is... Why are you wearing sliders in Swindon in fucking December, brother? Do you know what I mean? Anyway, okay. What's the biggest ick for you in terms of... No, we're not doing icks. We're not turning into that much of a podcast. Don't worry. What's your biggest turn off when it comes to guys' clothes?
Oh, God.
Like, I know you're in a relationship, but if you were...
No, I get you. Like, I'm just trying to think of what it is in particular. Do you know what I really don't like? What? I have it. Cotton tracksuit pants on boys. You know, the like grey ones. Because, they just highlight your area and it's just a bit try hard, I think.
Okay, that's actually interesting. Yeah, I... Interesting.
Mm. The grey ones in particular.
Yeah. Mm. I have a pair of grey tracksuit bottoms and Dara's been trying to get me to throw them out for like the last 6 months. I wonder, is that why?
It's just a bit of show off, I think. Oh, look at me. Yeah. Got a willy.
If you ever want to fall, Kian, just please, man. There's terrible. Let me just. Okay, this one is comfortably the most mental story that we've had. It's quite long, but I promise you it's worth every single second. I feel like I've been blessed to have been sent in this story. So thank you so much and brace yourselves.
Hi, Mark. Recently on a flight to Dubai, I came across a bunch of lads from Dublin. There was probably about 12-13 of them. I think kind of from listening to them, they were saying that like someone was 40 or something, so they were going over to celebrate their birthday. So we were at the very, very back of the plane. Now, I was traveling by myself. So I was sitting on the right-hand side on the last seat, and there was two seats together. And then in the middle, obviously, there's four seats together. And then the other side, there's two. So I'm sitting against the window. A girl sits beside me. She's from Belfast. She was literally wearing a leotard and like had her face fully done, like her hair done up. Like Botox filler in her lips, everything. So she's sitting beside me with a laptop, working away on her laptop. The guys all had vodka that they'd gotten in the duty free in the airport before they left. And they were like just drinking away, getting drunker and drunker. And they were so loud. They ended up getting chatting to the girl that was sitting beside me. And so they gave her a drink. So this went on for a couple of hours. They were all like really loud, really drunk. And then somewhere in the middle of it all, the girl from Belfast turned around and told one of the guys that he'd never be able to get with her because she was too hot and he just wasn't quite the kind of guy that she would go for. So the guys didn't take this very well and basically all started calling her a slut, told her to fuck off.
Oh my God.
Because we were near the back, there was a queue for the loos, and there happened to be like a girl from Limerick in the queue for the loo. Now, she was also drunk at this stage. So she turned around and got involved in the row between the Dublin lads and the Belfast girl. And they ended up screaming the heads off each other. There was like slaps thrown so that the guys ended up like having to break it up. And then the girl from Limerick ended up sitting beside one of the lads, like on the very back row in the middle. And they basically lay across the four seats in the middle and had like hands everywhere, like very obvious that things were being done. So there was like moaning, groaning.
Outrageous.
They ended up having to like put the blanket across themselves so that like people couldn't see them anymore. So thankfully, eventually the staff came down and broke it up. But like it was just possibly the worst flight I have ever been on.
And there's me thinking that the people who like to go to Dubai are uncultured.
Oh my goodness, that sounds like hell. Absolute hell.
I love the way everybody in the story is both a victim and an aggressor. Like this is, so you've got the gang of lads who are heading over to the UAE for Craig's 40th. Now that they can't go to Vegas for MMA fights anymore, you know, they need a new synthetic playground to cheat in their spaces and wear those hideous man purses to pool parties. But then you've got the leotard person who initially I was obviously on the side of, because the leotard lip filler, you're like, no. Oh no, wait, are we still on this? Are we still on the leotard lip fillers side? I think we might be. So then she gets chirped by the lads. They start trying to flirt with her.
Mm.
Then she makes a remark to say that she thinks she's better than one of the guys.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable. Maybe she is.
Then, maybe she just was like, that's one way to shut them up.
Yeah. Maybe. But she's also gotten stuck into the vodka with them, which is...
Yeah. It's confusing, that angle.
So then...
But maybe it's the vodka that made her say that.
Very true. Maybe she was just having a bit of crack. Mm. And then they all just randomly decide to start launching abuse at her. Mm. But then the Limerick lady, who's also jarred, by the way, this flight is just, it's a 9-hour flight or whatever. The Limerick lady intervenes to shut up the lads, but then somehow the two ladies end up going at each other and exchanging slaps.
It's a soap opera.
This is an episode of Brookside.
This is EastEnders, the Christmas special.
And then your one from Limerick ends up on four seats. And she sent me a picture, by the way. I can't obviously publish this for privacy reasons, but she sent me a picture of the Limerick lady lying down on the thing. And your man is like playing with her hair and she's holding parts of him.
Jesus.
I've got nothing to say.
I think it speaks for itself.
Goodbye. Good luck. Good day.
Good stuff.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to Meet the Roast. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was probably one of my favourites. But look, lots of people were asking about flight anxiety and all of the rest. So just a very quick explanation, and I'm looking at doing something a little bit longer form about this. So if you do have any follow-up questions or you want to know more, or you are out there and you're suffering with flight anxiety, do get in touch, because I'm looking into something at the moment around that. However, yes, long story short, in around 2014... I was on a flight to Florence, well, to Pisa, with a friend of mine, and I was underslept. I'd been drinking a lot of the time, as I was for most of my 20s, and I was just dehydrated and weak and whatever. I would always have been prone and susceptible to panic attacks as it was, And I just randomly on the plane, I'd never had any form of flight related anxiety for my entire life. All of a sudden, I just bang, insane panic attack. And I was like, I need to get off. Obviously, you can't get off. And I had one of the worst panic attacks that I ever had, which anyone with panic attacks will understand. Like, the next one always feels like it's the worst, but this was like a particularly traumatic panic attack. And anyway, I was doing a bit of traveling that summer, and each time I got in a flight, it started getting worse and worse. And then it trickled into, you know, the airport, and even getting on the bus, on the tarmac, out to the plane. As soon as those doors close, I would start having a panic attack. And obviously that root cause being the fear of the lack of control and all of this. It was, to be brutally honest, it was never about me thinking the plane was going to crash. I never thought, I trust science, so there was no concern that the plane was going to go down or that I wasn't safe. It was for me just being trapped in a tin can, suspended in the air 30,000 feet above the ground with no way to get off. And the fear was that I was going to have a massive monumental panic attack up in the sky and freak out and try and get off and have nowhere to go. So that was it for me. And I then had the phobic reaction, which I do to many things in life, where I just avoid it, you know, which is of course the worst thing you can do. But the panic attacks and the anxiety was so severe that at the time it was for the best. And I went through about a year, I think, or 9 months certainly, without flying at all. I lived in London and I was getting the ferry over and back from Dublin. So it was really, really bad. And then I of course started self-medicating in order to fly, and just getting blackout drunk in airports in order to get in the plane, which, as we all know, isn't a long-term solution. So I then did the British Airways Flying with Confidence course, and the day is basically split up into 2 days or two sections. The first half is you go in with a pilot from BA, cabin crew, and then a psychologist, and they talk you through the mechanisms, the mechanics of flight, how it all works. You can ask as many questions as you want. And I think the idea is that they just want to give you as much information as possible in order to reassure. I found it to be beneficial-ish, but if truth be told, like, anxiety, as many people know, you can't really cure anxiety in one morning. I think if you were worried and nervous about flying for your safety's sake, then I would absolutely wholeheartedly recommend it. Whereas if you do suffer from sort of what I've described, which is just pretty much an anxiety panic attack, not necessarily directed to thinking the plane's going to crash, then I don't know if I'd recommend it. I would recommend other ways of dealing with it, in the way of maybe therapy and CBT and whatnot, because it's all anxiety rather than the plane is not really relevant, you know. So there you go. That's all I have on that. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you have any other questions, just send me a message on Instagram, and I wish you well. Speak to you next week. Take care. All the best. Bye-bye.